You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Pirates fresh off a 12-2 throttling of Milwaukee last night. Try to make it two in a row just after 8 o'clock. It'll be Martin Perez versus another Brewers pitcher with good numbers, Tobias Myers, a rookie with a 3.52 ERA and a 5-3 mark. Again, first pitch here on The Fan is right after 8 o'clock. More Fan headlines, which are powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville, now open at 93.7thefan.com. At 2:05, it's time for the PM team. All right, I guess no time to waste here. I mean, clock is ticking, Tempest Fugit. I was talking to my pal Zeiss just now as he left his post. Donnie, we could have watched the rest of Rock Triple H, Iron Man, Judgment Day 2000.
I guess we could have.
We had time to get it done. Yeah, we skipped ahead in the action a little bit, but we had time. No time to enjoy Electric Avenue here. We got to get right down to brass tacks. I imagine Little Austin in there, who probably is going to get real mad, why are you guys beating me up again? I imagine he was like throwing up more stop signs than what, Mike Rebello? He wasn't windmilling Zeiss in. He had both hands up, and I think Paul just kept chugging and then kept going around the bases over and over again.
Yeah, I think he was waving his hands in here. I think he mentioned two or three times, and Paul
nothing.
Just kept on going.
Nothing. He just trucked right through it. Very interesting, that development. A lot to get to, but it's a summer show, so I'm going to... If I said too much about this, Zeiss would come in, you know, when I was on at 6 o'clock, I'd start my show at 6:17 because of you idiots. And we would have to be like, you know what? Okay. We'll let sleeping dogs lie here. You might have a point there. You might be speaking factually here, and so we just have to drop this whole thing. Zeiss, though, making news today, breaking news, reporting that he's hearing the Pirates are trying. Don't try to... I'm not going to oversell this. I'm not going to undersell this. I'm just going to put out there what Paul said and what I know he talked about at length on his show. I would say it's something that Paul reported that's one of the many kinds of rumors we've heard about the Pirates in player acquisition before, right? Usually don't come to fruition. The time that it did with Chris Archer, now granted, he was a bigger name than the guy that I'm about to tell you about. It blew up in their faces. But Paul reporting that the Pirates are trying to get a deal done for the Los Angeles Angels' Taylor Ward. He is a pure left fielder for them now, although on the Pirates, I imagine he would slot over to right field. Pretty obviously, he's played it before. He's played all three outfield spots there in a pinch. Basically, when Mike Trout's been hurt, he's had to pinch it in center field there. Reporting, though, that the Pirates trying to get this done. Jason Mackey report that Paul was not just pulling this, I guess, basically out of the... Oh, no. I'm going with the fake Mackey here. Forget it. I got double-crossed. I was looking at regular Mackey in my mentions, and then I conflated that with fake Mackey. Forget it. Fake Jason Mackey tried to back the report with some details, but fake Jason Mackey's not real Jason Mackey. But Paul reporting that Taylor Ward's somebody that the Pirates are interested in, bottom line. I'll just say this. He's an ARB-eligible guy, so he's 3 years so far down of team control. He is not a rental. He's not young either, though. He's 30 years old. This guy was a later bloomer as far as major league talent is concerned. 20 home runs in his past. He is a player who, you know, I think if you get a guy like this who is making just a touch under $5 million this year, and then you've got him till he becomes a free agent eligible in 2027, you have actually added a real piece to your lineup. I'll say this much. I think he's the definition, Taylor Ward, of an above-average bat. He is a solid offensive player. And were this deal to come to pass, this idea of Taylor Ward joining the Pirates, I would like it. I would give them credit for trying to add a bat that actually matters to their baseball team. This man strikes out a lot, but what he also does is take enough walks, 39 of them, to overcome that. He hits 238. His OBP is almost 100 points higher, and he's got a decent slugging percentage. You can basically look at the numbers from Taylor Ward's career when he plays, when he started to play as a full-timer. He has produced. 1 year in there in 2022 where he played a lot of games and he was, by any objective measure, a very above-average bat, a very good bat for the Angels, doing kind of a little bit of everything. He was having a more powerful Josh Harrison type of year, where he played all three outfield spots, where he played a little third base, where he DH'd. Versatile guy. He's even played briefly third base, or first base, excuse me, in his career. Robert Murray of FanSided is denying that this is the case. There's a good old-fashioned source-off happening between whoever Zeiss is hearing this from, and because I'm a gentleman and respectful, you don't ask Paul who his source is. A gentleman never tells when it comes to his sources, right, Donnie? You've got something. You let sleeping dogs lie there. You don't name your source. And you would never ask. Although somebody told me in this building, they said, why don't you just go ask Zeiss who it is? I said, come on. Is this your first rodeo? I would like this, though. I when Paul tweeted this out, and then when I heard him talking about it, I liked it. You know why? Because it's something. It's augmenting a roster that has recently, in the last five games, shown signs of offensive life. Last night being a huge example of that, just playing long ball against the Brewers. Suddenly they're hitting the ball over the fence. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you got the Rowdy Tellez you've been getting for the last 6 weeks now, I would say. And you've got this very slowly developing thing where maybe Jack Suwinski is going to hit his way out of it. He had two very good at-bats last night. You got a little shot in the arm from Palacios. I have no idea what's going on with O'Neill Cruz health-wise as far as the hamstring situation, but hopefully that would be not that big of a deal and wouldn't hold him back very much. Listed as day-to-day right now. You put it all together, and if you added a guy like Taylor Ward to this team, I don't think you would have any kind of a juggernaut offense, but you'd at least have somebody added into that mix that would, I think, give you the capacity to put a little bit of fear at times in opposing pitchers. Like, if you just went down the middle of that lineup and it was something like Reynolds, Cruz, Tellez, Ward, and then, I don't know, I guess you toss in Suwinski there, maybe hitting sixth in that lineup, it doesn't look so bad. Gonzalez could hit sixth. Throw Suwinski down there at seventh. Hayes is hitting eighth. If Joey Bart's in the lineup, he probably should hit sixth. But if it's any other catcher, they can hit ninth and you can pretend they don't exist. And then you would have maybe McCutchen usually. I wouldn't hate that lineup. Hardly a world beater lineup, but doesn't have to be when it's the Pirates who pitch like this. So you've got this rumor out there, Taylor Ward, the Pirates trying to get a deal done. Paul not saying that it's imminent or anything like that, but Paul's saying that they are trying to get Taylor Ward, pry him away from the Angels, that they are in talks about that. That's what he has been hearing. I like it. I know that, I think too, when you look at a deal like this, I know it would be a non-rental, so the price in prospects automatically goes up. Whatever that price would actually be, I don't think he would command one of your absolute premium guys. It feels like the Pirates are the team that always gets floated out as they'd have to give up, you know, X, Y, and Z for a player. Other teams can give up, you know, their top, a top nine guy in their system, not a top two guy, to get somebody like Taylor Ward. I don't think he'd cost a ton. I don't think he would cost anywhere near what Luis Robert Jr. would cost. I don't think he'd cost what Vlad Guerrero would cost. I don't even know if you'd get the Jazz Chisholm ask as far as a prospect return for Taylor Ward. And he's pretty anonymous to people here, and I don't blame you for that being the case because he plays for Anaheim, a team no one pays attention to anymore. But he's not a bad player. You slotted him in right now. He's a 105 OPS plus. That would probably make him second or third best offensive player on this team in balance. 412-928-9370. It's the Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Paul Zeiss reporting the Pirates interested in Anaheim's Taylor Ward, an outfielder. He'd come here if this happens, and he would play right field. You could pretty much pencil him in. That would nudge Jack Sawinski out of the lineup or make him a DH some of the time, but I'd be fine with that trade-off. Would you? 412-928-9370. We got time for you, Donnie, though, right here before we head out to the lines. Your thoughts on this Paul Zeiss trade rumor that we've got here?
Yeah, I mean, definitely an interesting player to bring in because, as you said, he would slot in and be one of their best offensive players right off the bat. Look at the power numbers. He would rank very highly, 14 home runs. That would tie him with O'Neill Cruz, and he would be a few behind Brian Reynolds. So that's a nice number to be at. Plus, he does have the fielding versatility that you like. And then the other offensive numbers, he would fit in more than fine with what they are currently working with. And as you said, I think a big point here, I don't think the price to pay would be all that much in capital.
There's team control involved here, which always raises the price, but he's not a 26-year-old guy who's got 3 years of team control or a 25-year-old guy. There's nothing. He was a late bloomer. He didn't accrue enough service time just because of the way they used him. The guy's been in the majors since 2018. He broke in at 24 years old. Again, not like a super young age to break in. Barely played the next two seasons, really. And really only came into his own or started to as a semi-regular player in 2021 and then in 2022. So you're just getting a guy who I think the price is lower because he's just not that young. And by the time he actually hits free agency, you probably have seen the best of Taylor Ward. I'd do it, though. In fact, I think it's the kind of move that the Pirates have sort of tried to corner the market in. He's a good bat. He's definitely not the best bat that's going to be available, though. I just named three players that I think would be more in demand. But they have made hay at times in the past, granted in a different regime, acquiring players who aren't the A-tier guys towards the deadline. Go back to what Bob Nutting said on June 21st. He wants this offense to get better. You'd make this offense better if you added Taylor Ward. What say you? 412-928-9370. Paul Zeiss reporting the Pirates interested in Anaheim's Taylor Ward. Is that a name? Is that, what is that from Entourage? Is that something you'd be interested in? 412-928-9370. Plus, one local media member with a very interesting trade nugget that happened at some point this year, but that the Pirates said no to. I'll tell you what that is coming up next. First, here's Donnie with a fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Headline. PM team Chris Muller, no Andrew Filippone this week. He's continuing to enjoy parental leave. No Joe Starkey or Paul Zeiss tomorrow, which means quick programming note, Big Don Football gets back into the big boy chair and runs the show himself tomorrow from 10 to 2. That'll be appointment listening. Got anything already in the hopper there? You can't see. Now, I have a question for you with this. Do you bring the same recipe of, I'm going to occasionally talk pro wrestling and goof around a little bit? Or is it more corporate, Donnie? Like when Austin came out with the title belt, but he was wearing a shirt and tie or whatever.
Yeah, we got to go that route a little bit. Plus, I always...
Corporate Chedrick!
I always consider, though, like who I'm working with. And in this case, it's City Limits. I know he's not a wrestling fan. He may know some of the bigger names, but he's certainly not.
Is he more of
a
Dungeons and Dragons guy?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know he's a big Baldwin wiffle ball guy.
Doesn't he run his own wiffle ball league?
He does.
You should you know what you should do? Since he runs his own league, you should have him be a commissioner for a day in each sport. And you should make him come up with one reform to make each of the four major sports better.
Well, I like that idea.
That's what I mean. You should say, you are just present it to the people that way and say, you're commissioner for a day. You get to change each of these leagues with one sweeping rule. He'll get all worked up. He'll get very nervous about it. He'll get very uneasy. Taylor Ward, according to Paul Zeiss, the Pirates very interested in acquiring his services. He's playing left field for the Angels right now. If he came over to the Pirates, he would play right field. If you did do this, a couple of things here before we get to the phones. You can also tweet us at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. A couple things, though, before we get to the phones on this one, whether you like it or not. It would be an admission, I think, to some degree, that you wouldn't be bumping Jack Swinski out of the lineup, but you could be on certain days. He's a right-handed hitter, Taylor Ward. Swinski's obviously a lefty. He's a bats right, throws right kind of guy. But there would be days if you wanted Andrew McCutchen maybe to be in right field where you could move Reynolds over to center. You could bump things around. It would be essentially, though, putting in an everyday major leaguer and not whatever they've tried to do with right field, like a rotating cast of characters. And I do think it would be, they wouldn't want to do too much movement in the center field as far as if Michael A. Taylor's out there, it's another terrible bat. But it would be sort of pressure on Swinski. You better keep hitting because if push comes to shove, we will alter our defensive structure out there. We can put Reynolds out there if we have to. We can put this guy in left field if we have to. He's not a great defender by any stretch. And we can take you out of the lineup. So that's one thing to consider. I would also say this. One of the only hangups I have about Ward the player is, I don't know if you ever think about this, Donnie, Angels Ballpark always looks to me like a very pitcher-friendly park. Like for some reason, when I see it on TV, I'm always like, man, those fences seem like very far out. But it's a hitter-friendly place, and when you bring a right-handed bat into PNC Park, I think you always have to consider, does the guy's power translate? Or how many, like I would have to go and almost want to look, how many of his home runs would have been home runs at PNC Park? Because left field can turn a lot of home runs for some guys into long outs elsewhere if they're hitting wall scrapers. So that was one thing I thought of with him. But otherwise, I mean, I'm on board with this. You'd add a legitimate bat, you have control of them, and I think price-wise, it's not going to be hugely expensive because he's already 30. One other thing, Dejan Kovacevic, in his write-up today of what the Pirates did, his morning grind is what it's called. It's DK's grind. Okay, I want to get it right here. He wrote a couple of different notes. He had like five little fact notes he wrote. This is the first one, and Donnie, I want to get your opinion on this very quickly. Fact. I was told over the weekend by a high-ranking American League exec that at some point in 2024, the Orioles approached the Pirates about a trade of elite prospects, one that would send Jared Jones to Baltimore and 20-year-old infielder Jackson Holliday to Pittsburgh. I was further told that it was Ben Cherington who backed off. As the opening sentence of the paragraph suggests, I've got no idea when within this year it occurred, only that it did. Would you have done that deal? Straight up. Holliday, who was the number one guy in baseball for Jared Jones, who was electrifying and still has been very good by and large, even though he's hurt right now.
It's hard to turn down like number one overall pick pedigree and talent, but we're seeing how it plays out in a great way, in a bad way.
Holliday's 2 for 34 in his career.
Yeah, I mean, well, plus like Henry Davis was a 1-1
sure.
player, and that certainly has not worked out. They've had others not work out. Paul Skeens, the opposite. He's just a completely different animal.
It's tempting because he's a middle infielder with pop, but like I think pitching's just more valuable.
Yeah, and you have seemed to hit a surprising, I don't know if I'd say home run, but you've hit well so far on Jared Jones, and it's kind of found money. You did not think that he would be as good as he is, and it's a little bit of a bonus. Like Skeens had the high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Jones really had none. And it's worked out. I also wonder, do you think that they got that call on like April 7th?
Yeah, I was going to say.
After Jones went like six innings against them?
Well, or did they get that call when Holliday had come up and sucked badly at the major league level for a handful of games? And they were like, hey. Like, I always wonder in that case, the Orioles have really done a great rebuild job. They do need pitching still, Donnie. I always wonder if they found some fatal flaw with him somehow, and they were like, hey, we've got a number one overall pick. He's only 20. Woo, he's going to be a rookie. Not even going to lose that service time year. I wouldn't do it, though. Pitching more valuable. I learned my lesson in the Skeens Cruz debate. Let's go to the phones here. Taylor Ward, Paul Zeiss reporting, Pirates interested in his services, would like to try to get a deal done that brings him to Pittsburgh. Would you like it? I would. Let's go to Noah in Aliquippa. Hey, Noah.
Chris, what's up, my friend? How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call, as always.
Yes, sir.
Taylor Ward, I think it's a great, great trade for the Pirates. It kind of reminds me of when they weren't in it, but they were trying to be back in 2011 when they traded for Derek Lee and Ryan Ludwig. I thought that was a great move, and if they could do something along those lines, bring in some Tier B players, which like you said, Michael or Taylor Ward would be the probably third best hitter in our lineup. I think that would be great. I think if they could bring in maybe another bat, maybe a bullpen arm, I think that would set us up for success. Butter me this, Chris.
Yes, the butter me this, man. He should just start calling as butter me this. It's like it's sports talk. I mean, people call with ridiculous names all the time. You might as well just become butter me this in Aliquippa. Hello, this is butter. Like, we've got intern Sonny Gray back there. Hi, this is butter me this in Aliquippa. He'd have his eye like arch up like he was the Rock, but he would write it down. Chandler is on 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Chandler.
Hey, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
I had an opinion, and wanted to see what your opinion was about this. I think the Taylor Ward trade would be good. It'd be a good bat for the lineup, but might as well make it a package deal and bring in Kevin Pillar, too. I think I've been talking about that for a while. I think Kevin Pillar, he's a veteran. He'd be good bat for the lineup. He's batting 275 right now.
He's good. He's like good in the he's good in like the Connor Joe role of if you can limit his exposure, you're probably going to get a good version of him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's going to be his last season. He plans on retiring. He wants to go out with a bang. Like I said, he's a veteran, and he also brings average. You know, and that's one thing I think the Pirates are missing is hitting for average. He's batting 275. He has about 30 RBIs, 7 home runs.
Yeah, he's been a good – he's been, like I said, Chandler, he's been Connor Joe for them. I mean, yes, you would think a throw-in like that as a guy who's hanging him up after this year, who's not going to play any longer, is in his mid-30s, who's been around, would be maybe intriguing to them. That would be – and he's a center fielder, by the way. That would be a clear sign if they were to bring a guy like that in that they were sending a message to Jack Sawinski. You bring in two outfielders in a trade from the same team. I don't think they would do this, for the record. That would be a sign that they don't believe that what they're seeing from Sawinski, this mini resurgence, is legitimate. We'll get back to this later. Taylor Ward, Paul Zeiss being told that the Pirates are interested in him, might be trying to swing a deal to bring him here. Up next, we had an update on Sidney Crosby's contract situation. Rob Rossi writing a couple days ago that he thinks, it seems like, from everybody that he's talking to, that the two sides, Penguins and Crosby, are going to come to a deal sooner rather than later, and that they're aware of kind of the outside perception the longer this takes to get done, what that might mean to fans. We'll talk to Tyler Kennedy about that, about Crosby, and really it's TK. It's off-season TK. It's whatever comes up. We might get a random story about a brawl. We might get two random stories about brawls from Tyler Kennedy. That's coming up next. He'll be on the... Well, I'll just tell you about that in a second instead, Donnie. Give us a fan headline.
Mr. Kennedy!
PM team and the fan hotlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find Mr. Tyler Kennedy, Stanley Cup champion, member of the best third line in hockey, which is a pretty awesome designation. You never hear about the best second line in hockey. I feel like it's either the best top line in the sport or the best third line in hockey, and you were part of the best third line in 09. There's never any best second lines, and I guess maybe sometimes there's a best fourth line once in a while out there, TK.
Yeah, I feel like there's like more 1-2 combos. You know what I mean? Like when Sid and Gino, the two-headed monster coming at you, like I think that was pretty powerful. Even like when you think of fourth lines, the one in on the island with Clutterbuck.
The identity Martin. Line, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, like they've made a name where they've figured out what their role is and be really good at it. I was lucky because obviously Staal could have been a higher centerman on a team where he had more opportunity. Just again, he kind of slotted in the third line, so I got a great opportunity to play with a great centerman. And then Cookie was Cookie, right? Like he created a lot of space for us. You never knew what he was going to do, but I enjoyed playing with him.
What did you think? Technically, like, so if Staal was, hey, he's the center, he's, like you just said, he could have been a second-line center or whatever, playing down on the third line. What did you feel like your role was with those two? Did you feel like you were the scorer and Cook was the agitator, and then Stahl was going to do a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I feel like Stahl was like the guy that did everything. He scored. He's very good defensively. I was kind of the guy that bring like the speed, the energy. I can score, but obviously Stahlsy had a pretty good scoring touch. But I was that guy that, you know, create energy, hard on the forecheck, turn pucks over. And Matt was more of like, if there was a scruffle, everyone always grabbed Matt Cook. You know, everyone wanted to kill him. So it was kind of nice because you knew no one was really going after you right away. They're always looking for Cookie. So that was nice. But again, for some reason, we just gelled very well. You know, we always knew where we each other were. We had great communication. And we always got like the third best pairing, right? Which was nice. The only tough thing sometimes at home, we would get the best line. Like we'd get Ovechkin's line.
Ugh.
And it was like, all right, just don't get scored on and you've had a great game. And I was like, oh.
Slightly
didn't have to score tonight. They're like, no, you just don't get scored on. It's like, all right. And then you know, you see Ovechkin like eating the ice in a warm up. You're like, all right, it's going to be a fun one.
Sidney Crosby, there's a report out earlier this week in The Athletic, Tyler, that he and the team are getting pretty close here, that it could be any day now where they get a contract extension done. No specifics nailed down as definite, but people seem to think it's going to be 3 years. So that would give him 4 years left with the team. If and when this happens and it's a three-year extension, how motivated do you think Sidney Crosby would be to keep playing if 4 years down the road he's still looking like one of the upper echelon players in the league, top 10, top 15 guy, and he's defying that aging curve? Do you think he wants to keep going beyond these 4 years that people kind of speculate he'll have here?
Yeah, I think Sid's like in his glory days. You know, like the pressure's off him. He's won 3 Stanley Cup. He proved that he's an elite of elite, top 5 ever to play. I think now when I watch Sid play, like he just loves winning and just loves the game. You know, I think at the beginning of his career, he felt a lot of pressure. And I think a lot of guys at their beginning of their career, like, you know, Connor Bedard, to produce and show that they can do it at the next level. And I think Sid had so much pressure at the beginning of his career. Now, he's just playing, you know, pressure-free, carefree. And I think that's why he's playing so good. It's so late in his age because he's enjoying playing the game, being around the guys, and he enjoys that competition of, you know, people, you know, all these young guys that used to watch him. Now they get to actually play against me like, wow, this is so cool. Like, this guy was my hero. I was in his little learn to play program. Now I'm playing against him. Like, it must be so cool, and it must be cool for Sid too. But I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to have to cut the skates off him with how ingrained hockey is. And to be as good as he is, your life has to be surrounded by hockey, and you have to, you know, you got to live and breathe it, and especially him. So it'll be very tough. You know, it'd be very tough to see him transition out of the game. But I can see him staying in the game, doing something, you know, either ownership, which maybe it's changed now, but maybe a GM or something like that. I think I can see him staying in the game for sure.
TK, I wonder about this because he always, as a player, the one thing I think we've all said, he represents the city incredibly well. You know, not a peep off the ice negative that you've ever heard about the guy. I mean, I don't even hear off the record stories that are anything but like complimentary about Sid. And then in the locker room, win or loss, he always seems to say the right thing, rarely gets annoyed, and he rarely makes it about himself. It's always about the team. So it's everything you'd want out of a captain. In your, you know, you knowing the guy the way you do, having been his teammate, and you just talked about the pressure's off of him, you know, the way it's still very much on a guy like McDavid. But how motivated do you think he is by individual stats now? He's won 3 cups. You know, his legacy is cemented as an all-time top 5 great. Like, he's got this year, if he gets a point per game again this year, he shatters the record that Gretzky holds with him right now for a point per game consecutive seasons. How motivated do you think he is by that stuff?
I think he's motivated
I think he's motivated in a different way. I think he's motivated to show the young guys that he's still the top dog. You know, I think when a McDavid comes here or a Connor Bedard, I think he's motivated to show them, like, what he can do. You know, I don't think it's too much about, like, shattering records for him. It's more about him, you know, being better than their top players. I think that's what motivates Sid. You know, again, his competitiveness, his, you know, his compete level's off the charts. Like, again, we used to play, you know, you throw the garbage in the garbage can. If Sid missed, he'd be there all night, you know, just trying to get it in. Or, like, if you played posts. Like, I would play, you know what post is? So after practice, you got to hit every post once, and then you're done.
Okay.
So everyone would play just for fun. And I remember playing with Sid, and I used to just hit the post, and that's it. Sid would make you hit the post and go in. So it was, like, a completely different, harder game to play. And I think I squeak one in on him. I swear to God, like, we played 5 times in a row. And he beat me the next 5 times, but it was like just pretty much saying, like, that was so lucky, TK. Like, I don't know how you beat me, but that's just him. You know, he's competitive. He loves to win. And, you know, I think he's definitely going to be motivated this year. You know, again, I think a lot of people are writing them off, already, or saying they're not going to make playoffs. Like, I think guys like Sid, Malkin, Letang, they thrive on people betting against them. So I'll be interested to see how it goes, because it's going to be an uphill battle for them. Like, when you see other teams around the league, especially in their division, like, they're getting stronger. Like, the Devils, they're going to be in the playoffs this year with the way they picked up guys. You know, New York is still strong. Carolina, like, they're going to have they have their work cut out. But again, he's a guy that you never, you know, bet against. And I think he's going to want to prove that they can make playoffs. Like, could you ever see Sid not making playoffs 3 years in a row?
Two years in a row is a shock to the system. So I'm with you on that one. Last one for you, TK, before we let you run. I'm seeing, like, people in town, you know, local reporters are covering prospect development camp right now. And it's hilarious because we all joke that the cup final happened and then it's like it's the draft, free agency, and then next season will start before you know it. How long would Tyler Kennedy give himself to recover in the offseason, a true vacation offseason, before it was ramp-up time to get ready to roll again?
When I was younger, like 20 to 25, I'd give myself like a month to 6 weeks.
And that's eating whatever you want, golfing, a couple of drinks, like the whole nine yards here?
Complete beauty at home. Like, that is just having fun, traveling, doing that. But you have to remember, my first 2 years – we went to the cup final, lost, went to the cup final again, and we won. I only took like 4 weeks off, 3 or 4 weeks. And because I was like, literally, like, it was 2 weeks before August. I'm like, I'm leaving in a month. Like, I better start getting on the ice. But it was only like 4 weeks off the ice. And skating with the guys back home, I didn't miss a beat. Like, I was like, wow, I'm still in shape. I still feel great. By like Christmas, I was like pulling muscles. I was sick of hockey because I didn't give myself time. But I'd always give myself a month off. At the end of my career, even I've been around Sid a little bit, the new generation of guys, they don't really stop. Oh. Like, when you get older, it's harder to find your, you know, find all the touches, you know, the speed. So they just slowly stay in it. You know, they kind of stay with it, but they never, like, plateau. You know what I mean? They're always kind of in shape and non-shape. And then, like, the last 3 weeks of August, they kind of push and they're ready to go. But just talking to a guy like Sid, he's like, I can't take 3 weeks off. It's just too hard to get back. Ugh. So he goes, I just consistently skate and go from there. And, you know, again, that's what I kind of used to do, because I'd listen to Sid. You know, weird.
TK, we'll talk again soon. Thanks as always, man.
Hey, we got to golf. We got to get the cameras. We got
to
golf.
You see this You see this logo? I have a Laurel Valley logo. I need to add Neverwood to my collection here. You name the time and the place, I'll make it work.
Oh, we'll go. We got to go, because I'm getting new clubs too, boys. Like, I'm not that good, but I think it's my clubs.
It's always the clubs. It's always the tools. It's never the carpenter. Don't let anyone tell you differently.
100. You got to look the part. I just can't tell my wife how much my clubs are.
Secret is safe here, TK. Yeah. Anytime you want to play, I'll be ready to go. We just can't tell Starkey because you don't want to see him on a golf course, Joe Starkey.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, it'll be fun. No, Neville, it's a great golf course, and I think I got to play at my home ground. I got to give myself an advantage. So
let's do it.
Let's go.
I'll answer the phone. Your people call my people. We can do it. Thanks, TK.
Are you putting money on this or no?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Just I don't have – I played in the NHL money, so we'll come to a nice, healthy agreement between the two parties.
I have to for something because I just can't play. I need to compete too. I need to play for money. But
done. We'll make it happen. TK, thanks, brother.
All right. Later.
All right, Donnie. I think I'm in. Let's go. I would play right now. That's the thing. You know I've been talking about it. I think I found something in the old golf swing. I want to play right now. I've heard awesome things about Neville Wood, too. So, what are you looking at me like that for? You, Donnie.
Me?
Yes, you got a big smirk on your face.
I was just thinking about all the content that would be
created. My God. I'd bring Nussbaum would be out there. There'd be cameras.
I'm going to fire a text off to him right now.
TK, put it out there, man. Let's do it. I'm serious. Let's do it. 50-minute mark here on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up, ESPN. We're getting closer, tick-tock, to football season, to training camps. The rankings are out, and I think you're going to be unhappy with where ESPN slotted one prominent Steeler. Tell you what it's all about coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.